want to preach and share with you just a short message. Today is Saturday, about the Christian race and the rat race. The Christian race and the rat race. But more about the Christian race. And I'm reading from the Bible. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every weight, all right, and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. My topic tonight is the Christian race. If you are not in the Christian race, you are in the rat race. Rat race is just an expression for hustlers running through life. Without Christ. Without Christ, life is a losing game. There's not much you can do but to chase after fantasies and to chase after illusions, to chase after mirages. A mirage is vapor that is shining out there because of the heat. And it's nothing. When you get there, you find it's nothing but a mirage. There is nothing to it. Vapor. Life without Jesus is a life of chasing after love, but not finding it. It's a life of chasing after money. 99% of the people who are chasing after money never find it. You can ask them. Ask your seniors. Ask all the graduates from this school. How many have become rich? And how many of the graduates of this school have much in their hands after many years of working? Life without Christ is an illusion of chasing after a time when you will retire and dwell in great comfort with riches, pleasures, and all the trophies you have acquired from this earth and enjoy them for many years to come. These are the dreams of human beings. Yes. Life without Christ is an illusion. It's a disappointment of chasing after power, after wealth, after love, only to find that it's not what you thought it was. Some of you have already, you're not even 30. But almost all the things I've said have happened to you. I don't know how it will be like when you are 50. You are not 30 years old, but chasing after money has not yielded much. You are not 30 years old, but chasing after love. How much love do you have? The people that you thought you loved, where are they? Whilst in this school, many people have chased after power to be SRC secretary, Nook secretary, hall president, JCR president, only to find that you have to hand over power after 1 year. After 1 year, the illusion is gone. And it has disappeared. Just like if you gain power on earth, like President Clinton, President Bush, and our own former presidents, you find after 4 years, the people genuinely don't want you. No matter how many good things you did. Hey! They genuinely don't want you. And they say, you must go. Wow. That is why Solomon said, vanity of vanities. It's all vanity. It's all useless. Because it's a race. Look, those, when you finish school, you first of all, you are racing to finish. Some of you did 3 years SS, what do you call it? SHS or what? WASI. Some did 4 years. And some have caught up. Those who did 3 years have caught up with those who did 4 years. Yes. And you can already sense the competitive nature of the race. As if you are going somewhere. Only to find out that when you finish school, it's more difficult than when you were in school. Yes. Who is going to finish first? Many have done shorter courses. Only to find out that they need to add some masters. They were laughing at the medical students initially. That your course is very long. And those doing law and those doing other things. Only to find when they finish that they cannot get a job. Then there is a race for a job. Hey! That's why I call it a rat race. A rat that is being chased with a man with hockey sticks. It's not easy to be a rat. When you get into the bank and you are working for the bank, you see the competition, the politics that is there. You wouldn't know, but you I'm telling you, politics that is in a bank, that is even in the university, among the lecturers. Hey! You can't even imagine just to become a professor what people do. Only for it to end in an illusion. Because when you finish school, I was here, hey, how we wanted to finish. As soon as we finish, we wonder why we wanted to finish. Yes. Because it's an illusion. It's vanity. And those who are wise are those who believe early. Listen, wisdom is important for young people. Old people don't need wisdom much. Because when old people get wisdom, they can't change much of their lives. So it is more important for a young person to receive wisdom than an older person. Because the young people can use it. It's like giving somebody who is a patient on admission to die, he's just about to die in a few days, you come and give him a lot of money and a new car. When he's lying down, the next place is the coffin. He cannot use the things you are giving to him. And then you go into every other field of life. There's a race. So many people want to be president. In Cote d'Ivoire, they had about 50-something presidential candidates. 52. 52 presidential candidates. NPP, they have always had a lot of presidential candidates. So even as you are the president, All your assistants want your job. What a job! All your assistants want to be you and are criticizing you for being you. Yes, it's amazing. Only to find that it's an illusion. All of them come and go. We come with promises and are not able to fulfill them. Promises. So, you can choose to be in that kind of a race, or you can choose to be in the Christian race. Now, somebody would say, oh, the Christian race, not be anything. We go feed do. Let me tell you something. When you see, what is the name of the fast runner? Usain Bolt. I was recently in Jamaica and I went to where he trains, and he's the other person who was the champion for some time. I think Usain Bolt allowed him to win a few races. I saw him training. Yeah. But before you can join that race, how many people run in the finals? Maybe about 8 or 10. Most of us will never qualify for 100 meters, even in your school or your hall. Or you don't get what I'm saying. Like, you wouldn't even qualify for your hall or for your house in your school. Yes. Because the person who is the 8 people who are running that 100 meters final race, they can carry a sack of rice and be faster than you if they run 100 meters. Yes. It's true. So, when we say the Christian race, you may think, we can just join. No, you can't just join the Christian race. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Jesus is the beginning and the finishing of your faith and of your Christian race. Hallelujah. Without Jesus Christ, you are not a Christian. You are not. You see, in a religious country, you have a lot of people thinking they are something that they are not. And that is very dangerous. It's actually more difficult to preach to people who think they are something when they are not. Because you don't know that you don't know. That is why many times when the government and some organizations are, maybe they want to appoint a minister of health, they don't choose a doctor. Or they want a minister of something, they don't usually choose somebody who is in that field. They choose some other person. You even wonder why. But because sometimes you have people who don't know, and they don't know that they don't know. The degree they have deceives them that they know. And being around, you can easily think that you are a Christian. I used to think I was a Christian, but I was not. The fact that you are not in another religion doesn't mean that you are a Christian. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. The Christian race is a race that you have to qualify to participate in. Just as I can't join Usain Bolt and all these guys. By the time I finish the 100 meters, he would have gone around the 400 and come to meet me at the finishing mark. It's true. 10 seconds, they are there. Yes. So, to join the Christian race, that's the best race, because there are two races, either Christian race or rat race. You see, both Christians and non-Christians are struggling. But they are struggling about different things, and they are struggling in different ways. The rat race is a race to find things that are not there and to follow illusions, mirages, vanities, which have no end in the power to deceive. So Jesus Christ is the beginning. Without you personally knowing Jesus, you cannot enter this race that I'm talking about tonight. Oh yes, you must be born again and meet Jesus and know him personally. You see, some of you, the reason why you can't read the Bible is because you don't know the author. When I got saved, I had a Bible. I had never read it. But when I got saved, that is, I came to know Jesus personally. That's why you hear that phrase. Have you received Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior? It's like, do you know him personally? You have to know Jesus personally, not to be registered in a church. You can be registered in a church and be known by the pastor. But at the end of the day, you may only be fooling yourself. And that's very dangerous. You have to know Jesus personally. The Bible says at the end of the world, people will come and say, oh, I was registered in UPS. I was registered in CPC. I was registered in LIC. I was registered in LLC. I was registered in LCI. They will say, there is no LCI here. There's no LPC here. There's no CCU here. There's no UCC here. There's no LLPPFTUC. All these names you are mentioning, we don't have it here. Hey! What we have here is where Jesus will say, but I never knew you. I don't know you personally. I don't know you. Look, you can be around, but Jesus would not know you. Very dangerous. I remember one day, a young man came to see me in my office. And he introduced himself to me. And there were two of them. And he said, I am a lighthouse pastor in a church, one of our churches. And I said, really? I said, but I don't know you. I have never seen you before. And I don't know who you are. And he was arguing. I said, look, you can argue, but I said, I don't know you. And that day, I realized that you can be part of an organization, but the most important person who should know you will not know you. That's when I realized, because this guy was, he was a genuine pastor. You see, because within the system, there is a way you become a pastor. So he had become a pastor. But I didn't know him personally. In fact, the two of them, I didn't know them. They were sitting there arguing. I said, hey, I say, I don't know you. So you may be a member of Anglican, Methodist, Lighthouse, Pentecost, UPC, CKK, RTU, LLP, SUTV. And Jesus said, I say, I don't know you. I say, I don't know you. I say, I don't know you. I say, I'm in the choir. I say, you are in the choir. I say, I also say, I don't know you. Can you force me to know you when I say, I don't know you? That is why I'm saying, you must know Jesus personally. Oh, you see, few people here will say that you are not Christians. Oh yeah, you say I'm a Christian, but this is this about. That is what I'm coming to warn you about. Because you see, you die once. Look. Put your hand on your heart. See if you can feel it. It's going 80, 70 times a minute. Boo, 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 boo. That one is, alone is a miracle. You see, when you bend your legs, you get tired. Since you were born, your heart has never rested 80 times a minute. So you yourself should know that one day it will stop. Something that has never rested before. It has never, let's say it's resting for 2 minutes.
Yes.
They say your heart says, look, since you were born, 1989, I've never rested. I want to take a break. Put your hand and feel it. Put your hand and feel it. The heart is going, I tell you, poo, 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 poo. Hey! It has never taken a holiday, vacation, or a weekend off. Mid-semester. You yourself should know that one day, it will say, it's enough. And usually, when it says it's enough, you have a lot of pain because it's screeching to a halt. Hey. And the symptoms of that is you have pain here and the pain goes into your left arm. Yes. That's what we call cardiac arrest. It is arrested. It's like, boo, boo, boo. Ooh, it's enough. Yes, it's enough. Hey! The day that your heart says it's enough, I've been beaten for too long. No rest for me. You are likely to have ended your opportunity to know Jesus Christ on this earth. Yes. Are you now going to say, I want to come back quickly. I want to switch races. I was doing rat race. I want to switch to Christian race. You are joking. Doctor, please come. Some years ago, this doctor was doing an exam. How many questions were on the exam?
Five questions.
What exam was this, please?
This was chemistry. Advanced level chemistry.
A-level chemistry. And the instructions was, answer what?
The first question is compulsory. And then you answer four other questions.
Do you understand? Please come this way. Answer one question, first question, and then four
other questions.
So two words were in your head. Four and four. One.
One.
And what did you do?
So I answered the first question, the compulsory question. And because I had four on my mind, I answered three more to add to the first compulsory question to have four questions.
Do you understand?
I should have answered the first question and four others to make five. But I answered one, the first question, and three other questions to add to make four because I had four.
His head was full of one and four. So when you came out of the room, out of the A-level room, examination hall, which is like life, you were going back to your hostel.
To the dormitory. First of all, I realized that I had finished very early because people were answering the questions. And I said, these guys don't know how to answer the questions very well. I'm a very good student. I have finished very early. Because normally I used to get very high marks. I finished fast. And this was the final exam. So I sat there looking at them, admiring them, and pitying some people, and checking my answers and all that. So when we finished, we were going back to the dormitory, and our friends were discussing question four, question three, and somebody said question six. I said, what is six? Then I realized that behind the paper was another question. So I asked about, were we not supposed to answer four? They said, no. Question one and four others. But I had answered question one and three others. There was a question at the back. Honestly, I don't know why I didn't die on the spot.
You don't know why you didn't die
on the spot, because my life had ended.
Did you want to run back?
I looked back at the examination hall, wanted to return, but I saw the West African Examination Council van. It was moving with the papers. It was over.
And he lost the chance. He lost the chance to, and the question was there all along. He could have done it. Could you have done it?
Easily. By the grace of God.
Some of you, when you land with your parachute on heaven's door like this, you say, eh? Question 6. Why didn't I think about it? Why didn't I do it? What was I thinking about when I was on campus? When I was a Christian? Yes. And some of you, when you die and you don't go up and you start going down, you may be screaming, I'm a Methodist. You say, yeah, but you are going down. Methodism is going down now. You may say, I'm a lighthouse. You say, no, you are going down. You may say, I'm a CPC. You say, CPC is going down. You don't have any ticket for up. Because you never joined the Christian race. Yes. You are rather laughing at people who are in the Christian race and pitying Christians in the Christian race, like he was pitying those who were finishing question 6, thinking that it was not necessary. So I want to ask you today, do you know Jesus as your personal say, like, is he real to you? Christ must be real to you. There are a lot of unreal Christians. They are not really born again Christians. Because you see, Christianity, a lot of people go to church. That's what I'm trying to explain to you, like the danger. You know, you personally know Jesus. Are you born again? Really? Oh, yes. Because if you are really born again, I'll ask a question. Why, how come you are not feeding on the word of God? Reading your Bible. The Bible says we should take the milk of the word. If you are a baby, how come you don't drink milk? If you are born again, how come you don't fellowship? How come you don't even like fellowship? Anytime you are in fellowship, it's like somebody dragged you here. As you are even sitting here, you say, you are even lucky that I came tonight. We can't easily find you in church. You criticize people who go to church from morning to evening. So you see, there are a lot of things. And also, when we look at you, there's no difference between you and the world. Those in the rat race and those in the Christian race, you can't see much difference. Your behavior, your lifestyle, your life of sin is the same. There's no difference. So I question whether you are in that race. And what I want to say is that on the day that you die, you probably die alone. Few people die in groups. Yes. It's not common to die in a group. One day I passed by a car. It was a VW, a Beetle. And it had an accident. No, the Beetle doesn't have an engine in the front. And there was, and they said there was a man and his wife, and they both died that evening in the car. And it was unusual. It's not common to find like a man lying in the mortuary with his wife by him. Even couples, they rarely die together. Dying is not a group thing. You see, church and all these activities is a group thing, but dying and meeting God is not a group thing. In fact, when you remember that aeroplane that was bombed, Pan Am, they bombed it over Lockerbie in Scotland some years ago. I think Gaddafi was supposed to have had something to do with it. But when they brought the list of people who died, you know, they were trying to claim, make claims. They said, this number of fathers died. This number of people were fathers. This number of people were mothers. This number of people were students. This number of... Then a small number, there were about 20 or 30 out of the 300 or 400 people who died. About 20 or 30 were couples. And they said these people were mother and father together on the plane. Just a few. Because it's not a common thing to die in a group. So you may be moving in a group. All of you happy together. We are all in a group. But the day of die, even in an accident, you see that one will be taken, one will be left. The Bible says two were grinding at the mill, one was taken, one was left. So, life, there are a lot of groups and classrooms. Groups, schools, friends, roommates, those who went to Form 1 20 years ago, those who went to Form 1 10 years ago. All those Wesley Girls 1985 group, 1990 group, Old Boys Association, Kwehu Boys Fellowship, WhatsApp groups and chat groups. Hey! But for death, usually, it's one by one. So when you go one by one, you will not have a group and say, Charlie, what are we going to say? It's not what are we going to say, oh. It's you. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? You know, I used to be a musician, an instrumentalist. When I joined the instrumentalist, I was playing. I came to find out that a lot of instrumentalists don't know how to play. But when they are in a group, you not know. It is when you take the others and there's only you left, then you see whether the person can play. Yes. A lot of them are just playing something, but they are not really the ones playing. Sometimes you see three keyboards. That's actually one person who is controlling the song. The others are just doing something. So what God is asking you today is, when we take away the group, will you be able to speak? Will you say you know Jesus? Yeah. In a religious country like this, you find. Look at the politicians. You can't even tell what they believe. Today you see him at a juju man. Next time you see him in a church. Next time you see him whatever. In the name of politics. One time I was on a flight with one of these politicians. I told him, I said, I saw you at a place. I said, I thought you were a Methodist. I asked him, a minister, top minister in the country. I was sitting by him. I said, I saw you. What were you doing that? I saw you bow your head. You were putting your head on the floor and so many other types of prayers. I said, what are you doing? I said, look at them. Watch out. I don't know whether you are in the Christian race or not. But Jesus is the author. And Jesus is the finisher. It's Jesus. You must know him. Otherwise, you can't be in the Christian race. And when you are in the Christian race, you must look at Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. Look, if you come to Christ, let me tell you, there is a cross planted in the road. If you want to follow Jesus, you have to take up a cross. And sacrifice. You think it's easy to be a Christian? If you want an easy religion, you can get up now and walk out. It's not easy to be a Christian. You cannot do whatever you used to do before. You cannot steal in exams as you used to steal. You cannot fornicate with your boyfriend or be testing boys and testing girls to see whether they are compatible before you marry them. We don't have tests. If you want tests, come, we'll do blood tests. You cannot just go anywhere. And you have to take up your cross and despise the shame of people laughing at you. There is shame in Christ. If you don't know, I'm telling you, a tragedy is for us to be preaching Christ came to deliver us from troubles. Christ came to deliver us from our sins, not from trouble. Christianity, if you want to be a Christian, there is a barrier. It's just like how if you want to come to this university, you have to do an exam and pass it. Otherwise, you cannot come here. And so it is. If you want to join that race, the finals, you must pass all the heats and all the races that come before, qualifiers, before, justify your inclusion. You want to be a Christian? Girl? Boy? If you don't want to follow Christ, it's up to you. It's not by force. Look, as I'm speaking now, Jesus could just write in gold in the sky. Listen to him. But why doesn't he do it? Or he could just show his face like this. For 1 minute. How you'll be afraid? Some of you will poo-poo on yourselves right now. Yes. You'll be terrified. Terrified. Yes. But he doesn't. Because Jesus is not begging you to follow him. It's not by force, and it's not like Jesus is not a rain-beaten eagle who is looking for shelter in your heart. If you want to come to me, Jesus said, take up your cross, despise the shame, and follow me. People have always laughed at me because I'm a Christian. They make fun of me. Even my preaching, they make fun of me when I'm preaching. They make fun of my preaching. Yes. To follow Jesus, there's shame. To follow Jesus, there's shame. Are you prepared to take up the shame that is associated with the Christian race if you are not resigned and go away? You think God is begging you? Huh? You are rather begging. Onapo. It's an onapos. Put aside your alcohol. Put aside your fornications, your multiple boyfriends. Put aside your abortions. Put aside your sin. You want to follow Christ? There is suffering in Christ. But if I put aside my sugar daddy, I won't have money to come to school. Then you don't come. Yes. To follow Christ is to look at Jesus, how he endured the cross, how he despised the shame as he lay on the cross. They laughed at him and mocked at him that he was not powerful. They told him, if you are the Son of God, just show power, show power. Many times I've wondered, why doesn't God show some small power? Like, just show his face like this. Because he doesn't need to. Who are you? You are nothing. Ah! You are going to be jumping in hell in a fire. You are nothing at all for God to waste his time to display power to you. And he sees you. He doesn't have to show that he's powerful. A mere man. What is man that thou art mindful of him? A small girl like you, Christ has to show his face before you believe. You won't believe. You have hardened your heart. You want an easy religion. You want everything easy. It's not easy to be a Christian. Stand up. When you are even going to pray, you hide. When you are going to pray, you hide it. When you are going to pray over your food, you hide the prayer. Shame. Shame on you. One day I was sitting on an aeroplane. There were only two of us in that section of the plane. And there was a young man with a laptop. And he was sitting on the left, I was sitting on the right. The air hostess came with some things to offer. So she started from the right when she offered that young man. A young, posh-looking man with a suit. I thought he was some kind of a business executive. When he offered the man, I said, no. Then he came to me. And I also said, no, for a different reason from the man. I turned my head to my surprise. The man got up, opened the upstairs of the aeroplane, took out a bag, and brought a carpet. This is the man with his laptop. He put his laptop down. Brought a carpet. And spread it. In the plane. Yes. In the plane. And went on the floor. And started praying. All the air hostess were coming. When they see him, then they passed to the side. He was worshiping his God. Whilst we Christians, she will disrupt you. Blessed, blessed. Amen. Shame on Christians. Shame. Shame on Christians. Shame. And when he finished his prayers, he got up, took the carpet, rolled it, packed it nicely. Put it inside his back. Put it up. And he went to sit in a chair. Then they came again. I said, yes, bring it. Bring it now. The flight was long. Later in the flight, I saw him take out his bag again. In his carpet to worship his God. Yes. And I said, look at the Christians. When Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me and stand up for Christ. Even speaking in tongues, you can't speak it loudly. You speak it tongues. Come on, speak in tongues. What type of shameful Christianity do we have today? You call yourself a Christian. A Christian raised in false looking at Jesus, who endured the cross and despised any kind of shame associated with Christianity. Paul wrote, he said, I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, even though the Romans have imprisoned him, he called himself a prisoner of the Lord, not Romans. Romans cannot imprison me. I'm God's prisoner. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. I'm not ashamed. He said, we are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. We are not ashamed of the gospel. And it starts from here. That is why people in the university who finish and join the politics and they call themselves Christians, you can't find them standing for anything. Even though they say they are Christians and they are members of parliament and ministers of state and what have you in the government, they don't stand up for anything or help any church or help any kind of Christianity. Which religion is being promoted and sponsored in the nation? It's not Christianity. Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yes. You start from the school. Even when you join SRC, JCR, what have you, election, nooks, whatever, you see them starting to bend and to change just because of the politics. Be driving cars, politicians have given you cars, and you see them sharing dollars and doing things because of the money. They are being given money to do what they are doing on campus, turning the school into a political arena because of money. And there will be, you see, there are members of the church and of groups. But the Christianity is shameful. That's why you wonder. That's why the Bible says, examine yourself whether you are in the faith. Examine yourself. Look at Jesus. He endured the cross. When I was in medical school, a lecturer, he said, all those who speak in tongues need to have an examination of their brain called electroencephalography. To assess whether they are normal. Because we speak in tongues. Yes. One day I was on the bus in the medical school. We're from Lagos to Kolebu. Lagos to Kolebu, early in the morning. I was sitting down feeling ashamed. I don't, not really ashamed, but I was wondering. And I realized that we Christians were too quiet in the bus. But the day came. One day we were coming from Kolebu. I bowed down my head. And when I looked up, the bus was full of balloons. Balloons that were flying around. Not an ordinary balloon. No. Each balloon was originally a condom. The medical students have blown the condoms into balloons and were throwing them around and playing with them in the bus. Condom volleyball. Yes. They were not ashamed. I said they were not ashamed of the gospel, of their gospel. Condom gospel. And I decided my silence is enough. And I rose up. And I stood at the front of the bus and I gave the first sermon, one of the first time ever that anybody had preached on the bus. After that, after it became common, I don't know if they still do it. Preach. They were all looking out of the window. But I endured the cross and despised the shame so that I could preach about Jesus Christ. And I preached on the bus many times. Many times. I'm not serving a God like the way many people keep God as a spare tire. A spare tire is brought out in time of trouble. But if there's no trouble, keep it under. Hidden. Is God your spare tire? Huh. You see, Bible says God is not a fool. God is not mocked. You'll be driving every day. You never look under the spare tire or even stroke the spare tire and say, I love you, spare tire. You never even wave to it, bye-bye, or even speak to it. But in time of trouble, it becomes the main thing that you need. And you bring it out of hiding. You have made God your spare tire. Hey! And you say you are a Christian. Everybody, even that verse, when we started to do exams, we got to the end of MB2. We started to do exams. Everybody wanted us to pray before. All of them said we should pray. Because they saw that you can easily repeat. Yes. Endure the cross, despising the shame. Wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses, we are surrounded by witnesses in the Christian race. It's a better race. People who died and spirits and angels are watching us in our race on this campus. When I was here, there were angels. There were angels that saw me preaching in Commonwealth Hall, Volta Hall, Legon Hall, Saba Hall. I preach everywhere in this school. They watched me. The witnesses. They recorded it. One night there was lights out in this school. And I preached the whole of Legon Hall. I announced there was an emergency and that Jesus was coming soon. That's the emergency. Yes. They've heard my voice. There are witnesses. You think they don't know? Some of your parents are dead and they are just praying. One day, a man of God, he told a testimony of how he went to heaven. When he went to heaven, he met a lady. That lady, she was about 26 years old when she died. And her husband was left with two small children. And the husband went on and remarried later. When he saw her in heaven, she didn't ask about her husband's remarriage. Apparently, all those things are not important in heaven. No, no, no. What happened was that one of her children had become born again. And apparently, when the child became born again, she knew it in heaven. They could see. It's like the cloud of witnesses are watching your spiritual progress. Like the physical things, you've got your degree, you are doing masters and so on. Those things are not, they are inconsequential because you can't even use it in America. Even when you go with your certificate, it won't work in so many places. But it was being observed. And one of the children also was not a serious Christian and became serious. And they noted it. So she asked about the spiritual progress. Of course, the cloud of witnesses are not human beings. They are spirits. Bible says we are surrounded by witnesses that are watching our life on this campus. How we are living it. How we lived it. How you live in your 20s, your 30s, your 40s, until your day comes when you are called home. We are surrounded by a cloud of observers. Some of you are causing the angels which are watching you to close their eyes and say, no, I can't watch. What is he doing? Today I'm inviting you to join the Christian race and run the race properly. Yes. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. We are Christians, but we are not perfect. We are running with two major problems, weights and sins. Every Christian has two problems, weights and sins. Let us lay aside weights and sins. A weight just makes it difficult for you to be a good Christian. It's like you are running with a kente cloth, 100 meters. And you are running with your Ahinima slippers. How can you run? Throw them away. Throw away that kente cloth. Can't you see when they are running a race, they are almost naked now? Serena Williams and all those people out there playing tennis, they are virtually naked. They have laid aside every weight. Some things are not in the Bible that is wrong, but it makes it heavy and difficult. Some of your boyfriend is a weight. Hey! that guy is not helping your Christian life. Some of you, that girl is a weight. Her name may be Helena or Harriet. Hey! His name may be Harry. His name may be John or Johnny. His name is not in the Bible as a sin, but he is a weight. Makes it heavy for you. Difficult to run. You have to shed the weight. And every weight you shed will make you cry, but it's worth it. Hallelujah. And the sin, God has things that he says are wrong. No matter whether you believe it or not. And God considers certain things as sins. Starting with lies. And a whole range. You know them. Lay it aside. Take up your cross. Follow Jesus Christ. You know, I've been a Christian since I was in Motown. Yeah. To me, it's been worth living in this world with Christ. Even if there is no heaven. Even if there is no heaven. Even heaven was not there. I'll prefer to have been a Christian all through these years up till now. It's been worth living this life with Christ. Yes. Today I want to invite you to transfer. Hey, you see the course you are doing? Sometimes you can transfer to a better course. Because the course you are doing, you know there is no job with that course. Jesus. I am inviting you to transfer from the rat race to the Christian race. We are not perfect. What do you mean by perfect? We are, a Christian is also hustling, but we are hustling with different things. And it's worth it. Yes, it's worth it. It's worth following Jesus. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Christianity takes patience. One day, a brother who was a smoker, he told me, he said, I can't stop. I told him, you will stop, don't worry. When a tree dies, the leaves will fall. It's a matter of time. You see, if this tree is dead, you don't have to shout and say, hey, leave! This is your last warning. In Jesus' name, I command you to come downstairs. No. If the tree is dead, the leaves will fall off. Many things, once you are in Christ, they will die. They will die. It's a matter of time. That's why the Bible says, let us run with patience. Patience. Patiently, you see that certain things that are a problem for you today, a time will come, you see, it's not a problem at all. That's how the Christian race is. I want to invite you to transfer from the rat race to the Christian race. Why? At the end of the race, you are going to come before the Savior. And he's going to crown you. He's going to crown you with a crown. You see Olympic medals. Even we don't even know who has Olympic medals. You have to show it in your room for a few visitors who come. Say, this one is called Olympic medal. I won it in 1972. And so what? It's passed. You were the fastest and it's passed. But the crown of glory, it will never fade away. The crown of righteousness, it will never fade away. God's glory on your life for eternity. because you served him, you laid aside the sin and the weight, and you followed Jesus with all your heart. Choose Jesus. Choose the Christian race. Take up your cross and follow Jesus. Nobody is begging you to become a Christian. It's a choice. If you want to follow him, it's up to you. If you want to go to hell, it's up to you. Choose it. That's Christianity. That's a Christian race. And tonight, I came to invite everybody here to come to Jesus and start. Stop being religious and stop depending on your father's church and your mother church and your ancestors' church. And start asking yourself, do I know Jesus personally? And stop saying it was my mother church, my father's church. No. Do you know him personally? There is no CCPU in heaven. It is only if your name is in the book of life. Hey! I want to see Jesus one day. I'm going to see him one day. How many want to see Jesus one day? How many want to say, Jesus, I know you. Jesus, I pray to you every day. I've been talking to you. Jesus, I'm so happy to see you. And I want Jesus, when he sees me, I want him to smile. How many want Jesus to smile when he sees you, to smile and say, this is my son. This is my beloved son. That's what we are all praying for. May you never be ashamed of Jesus and of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Everybody stand up. I want to pray with you. Nobody should walk around, please. Don't go anywhere. No usher should move. Nobody, don't buy anything. Don't go anywhere. I'm just going to pray and then we are closing. Oh, just stand there and close your eyes. And pray. Just pray quietly to God. Father, I thank you for all the people that are listening to me tonight. All those who have heard about the Christian race and the rat race. Tonight is a choice. It's a chance to choose whether they want to be in the Christian race or not. The wonderful Christian race. As every head is bowed and every eye closed, if you are here tonight, maybe you have been a religious person, but deep down in your heart, you know that you don't know Jesus as your personal savior. Listen, maybe you've even been to church many times, but you know yourself, you don't know God. But tonight you have an opportunity because I'm going to pray with you and help you and give you that opportunity to know Jesus personally. If you are here tonight, maybe somebody brought you. You want to say, Jesus, I want to turn away from foolishness. I want to stop fooling around. And I want to know you, Jesus. I want my sins to be washed away. And my name to be registered for the first time in the book of life. If you are here today and you want to receive Jesus as your savior, this is your chance. I want to pray with you specially. If you are here, you want me to pray with you. You want to give your life to God. You want to join the Christian race. You want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to come home. I want to come to Christ. I want to serve God from today. If you are here like that, you want to receive Jesus as your savior, then lift up your right hand right now where you are standing. Stand wherever you are, but lift your hand up high. Wherever you are standing, but your hand must go up high. God bless you. God bless you. I see all your hands. So many hands everywhere. It's not about being religious. Huh? It's not about which church your father or your father's mother went to. Or whether your father was a founder of a church. It's about, do you know Jesus? Tonight you want to say, me personally, I want to know Jesus. I'm tired of playing around, fooling around. I want to receive Jesus. I want to serve God from tonight. If you are here like that, your hand must go up now. Join the many who have lifted. Even whether they were few or many, it does not matter. You see, don't think about a group. I told you, you don't die in groups. Think about only yourself. Only you. That's why I said close your eyes so that you see only yourself. You and God. Your hand must be up. If your hand is up by the roadside, at the back, far away in the hall, wherever you are, you can hear me. And you have lifted your hand. You want to say, Jesus, I want to know you as my Savior. And your hand is lifted up. I want you to come to me in the front here with your hand still up. Walk to me in the front. Come all the way here. Run to me in the front with your hand up. Come from the back. Look, come from the roadside over there. Over there, come. From the back there. Those selling food. Come all the way to the front. Come, let them come. Come all the way and stand here. Quickly, 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 quickly.
The Lord is calling you. He's calling you from your life of wasted
years. Clap for them and encourage them as they come to the Lord.
Turn around, turn around. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you from your life of wasted
years. Come, come all the way to the front. Come on. Jesus, get out of the rat race and join the Christian race. I'm waiting for you. Hurry up. All the way. Run. Come to the side.
Wasted years. Oh, how foolish have you walked on in darkness and fear.
Look, can you all move to the side here? All of you in front, can you move this way? All of you move this way. Make room for those coming. All of you coming in. Come. Just move this way. Move this way. Move this way. Okay. It's fine. Thank you. All of you coming. Come. Come. Come all the way inside. Let them come in. Okay. Come. Come. Please move down. Move down. Move down. More people are coming. Move down. All of you here, move this way. Move this way, please. Those of you who call yourself ashes and you are, this is where you should be working and helping, not standing as statues and monuments. Come, come, come to the front. Come. If you say you are an usher, these are where ashes are needed to help. Okay. Come, let them come. Come all the way to the front.
Jesus is calling you. He's calling you from your life of wasted years.
Come on, I'm waiting for you. Come on.
Turn around. Turn around. The Lord is calling you. He's calling you from your life of wasted years.
Lift up your hands and say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for saving me today. Lift your two hands up high. Say, Jesus, thank you for tonight. I come to you just as I am. Please have mercy on me. Please forgive me for my sins. Lord Jesus, I am sorry for my mistakes, for my wickedness. But tonight, I come to you. Please forgive me. Please wash me with your blood. Tonight, I give my heart, I give my life, I give my everything to Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Please write my name. Say, please write my name in the book of life tonight, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, just a minute. Every head bowed, every eye closed. You are here. You are a Christian, or you call yourself a Christian, but I'm not a serious Christian. But you want to say, Pastor, tonight, I really want to take God seriously and be a serious Christian. Wherever you are standing, if you are here, I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. But from tonight, I want to take up the cross and really serve God on this campus. Maybe you were serious in the school you came from. But as you are here, you are not serious. But tonight, you are a Christian, but not a good Christian, but you want to be a good Christian. If you are here like that, lift up your right hand up high. In the congregation, lift it up high and come to the front as well. Come to the front. I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. Come, lift your hand up and come. Quickly. I'm waiting for you. Lift your hand up and come all the way. Look, those of you in the front, kindly come forward, please. Kindly come forward. All right? I'm a Christian, but not a good Christian. But I want to be serious with God from tonight. Please, run to the front. I want to pray with you. Very quickly. Clap for them as they come. So many people are coming. Your hand must be up as you come so that we can see that you are coming. Don't be shy. Some of you are ashamed. Shame on you for being ashamed. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus Christ. If you are ashamed of Jesus, he will also be ashamed of you. God bless you. I'm waiting. Come on. Come running. Come to the front. Come to the Lord.
Come running.
All the way. Keep on coming. I'm a Christian, but not a serious Christian. I've been ashamed of God. Come, I want to pray with you also in the front. It's very important. Tonight is a turnaround night. God bless you.
Flow freely. It will provide your healing. Come run into that mercy seat.
All right, all of you lift your hands up now. God bless you. And everybody in the congregation, lift your hands up. Father, I thank you for the Christian race. Yes. The invitation, yes, to be a part of this wonderful race. We are glad. I pray for everyone who is standing here tonight. Bless and touch every life. In Jesus' name I pray. Now all of you say after me, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, from tonight, I'm not ashamed of you. From tonight, I will serve you. I'm not ashamed of you. I will follow you. Everybody will know that I serve you, that I belong to you, and that I follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Make me a strong Christian. Make me a strong Christian. Help me to serve you. Help me to run the Christian race without shame. Help me to take up my cross. Help me to sacrifice and pay the price to be a Christian. Thank you, Lord. I lift my hand. Lift your two hands. Say, I lift my hands in surrender. I surrender all to Jesus Christ tonight. Thank you, Lord. Please write my name in the book of life. From tonight, I am a Christian. I am a believer. I am born again. I will serve God. Everybody will know that I am a believer in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a clap offering. Now, I'm going to give you a book. Amen. I want you to choose which one you want. How to be born again and avoid hell. Would you like that? Or how you can become a strong Christian. Which one do you prefer? Strong Christian. Both. Okay, give everybody one each in the front as a special gift for you on this campus. It has never happened before. But in your case, it is happening. Amen. Now listen, as they are giving the books to you, listen to me. The book is coming to you. To be a strong Christian, it's not easy. You see, if you want something easy, you have to join another religion. Do you want to join another religion? Do you want Jesus? It's not easy to follow Jesus, but it is possible. Amen. And it is nice to follow Jesus. Hallelujah. How many of you are going to follow Jesus? Wonderful. God bless you for deciding to follow Jesus. And tonight, you must decide to read your Bible every day so that you can become strong. That's why we sing the song.
Read your Bible, pray every day.
Pray every day, pray every day. Read your Bible, pray every day. If you want to grow.
I want you to sing this song.
If you want to grow. If you want to grow. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. If you want to grow.
Amen. Now I want to introduce you to something, because we are in a high-tech age that will help you to be a strong Christian. And it is called podcast. Have you heard of podcast before? Podcast. How many of you have got good phones that can do podcast? If you don't have podcast, I want you to get podcast, because the podcast will make you get preaching. Like yesterday night when I preached, it's already on the podcast. How many have already listened to it? Some people have listened to it already. So what I preach tonight, do you want to listen to it again? Yes. So if you want to listen to it again, go to your phone. Take your phone out. Everybody, take your phone. Let me see. If it is this type of yam phone, I will pray for you tonight. God will do a miracle. You will get a better phone in Jesus' name. You watch and see. Somebody is going to call you and give you a better phone. But when the new phone comes, remember that it is because of podcast that God has given you the phone. Not because of Tigo number one to be calling certain people. Amen. Are you listening to me? Are you listening or not? So if you are using Android phone, this other type, not Apple, not iPhone, the other type. You go to Google Play Store. It's on the phone already. Google Play Store, that's where they sell apps. When you go to that Google Play Store, you look for podcast. Type podcast addict. Podcast. Or just write type podcast. Or podcast. It will come. When it comes, press subscribe. That means I want it. Then it will be on your phone. When free, it's free. Everything is free. Then when it's on your phone, you type my name. My name is the name on the book, Dark Heward Mills podcast. And all the preaching, anytime I preach, it comes on. So it will just be appearing on your phone. One message. And when you press play, it's free. It comes on. You don't have to buy any tape again. From today, anybody who is selling, preaching to you, tell them, hey, I have a free one here on the podcast. How many of you are going to get the podcast? Get it. Those by the roadside, you will not get it. The roadside people. So take your phone right now. If you have Apple, the podcast is on it already. Then you type in my name for the podcast. It will appear. Then you just say, subscribe, yes or no. You say, yes, I want it. That means that it's for you. And you get it preaching. Nobody will know that you are listening. Me, my phone, I'm always listening to preaching with it. So everybody whose phone is not good, lift your hand. Let me pray for you right now. Father, send the angels into the congregation. Supernaturally provide them with phones. In Jesus' name, deliver them from old Nokia phones and old-fashioned type of phones that are no more used in this modern era. Release the latest. I said the latest. From Korea, from Hong Kong, from America, into their hand. Take it one in Jesus' name. Take it two in Jesus' name. Take it three in Jesus' name. And take it four in Jesus' name. Say, I receive it. Yes. To happen practically, you'll see. Amen. So, listen. If we were composing this song, it would be, listen to your podcast.
Listen every day.
Listen every day.
Listen every day.
Listen every day. Listen to your podcast. Listen every day. If you want to grow. If you want to grow. If you want to grow. Hallelujah. Listen to your podcast. Listen every day. Listen every day. Listen every day. Listen to your podcast. Listen every day. If you want to grow.
Then read your Bible.
Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. If you want to grow. If you want to grow. If you want to grow. Hallelujah. Read your Bible. Pray every day. Pray every day. Pray every day. Read your Bible. Pray every day. If you want to grow.
Look, do you know why it's important to be a strong Christian? Because when you are a strong Christian, the devil cannot cheat you. When I went to Form 1, they cheated me every day. But there was a guy who came to Form 1 with me. He was much older and bigger. Even some people said he came with his son. When they shout, one small boy, and they're cheating us, even though he was in Form 1, he will not go. You see him, say, me, I should go. If they like, they should come. So you see, the devil also sees you, and he sees whether you are strong. So when he says, one small Christian, one small Christian girl, he sees you in the spirit. And he says, this one is too much. But when he sees that you are weak, then he'll be playing table tennis with you. They take you to a beach party to have sex with you in the sea. And bring you back. And you see that, yes, you have been made small. Even though you say you are a believer. But from today, you are going to be the strongest Christian ever. Even the man who has won your heart that he loves you, you'll be able to say, hey, young man, let me tell you, you may have won my heart, but I found Christ. I found a greater love. Hallelujah. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for you. Jesus has the greater love. All the other loves are small boys of love. Hallelujah. How many have decided to be strong Christians so the devil cannot play table tennis with you or volleyball? Today marks the beginning of strong Christianity on this campus. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lift your hand and let me pray. Lift your books, your phones. I'm praying for all of you. Your phone is now going to carry messages of power. Hey, your phone is not... Look, let me ask you. How many of you have used your phone for pornography before? Wave your hand towards the heavens so that... Now God is showing you how to use your phone for a good spiritual purpose. How many are going to do the good spiritual purpose? I've shown you podcasts. Download Dark Inward Mills. You'll see my name there. My message will be there. Tonight, what I preach, it will be playing for you. By this evening, it will be there. And you'll be blessed. No more pornography. Podcast. Wow. You have changed your race from a rat race. Looking at pornography people who are doing the same thing every time. The pornography people, they are doing the same thing. Every day you are looking at the same thing, looking for something new. Hey. tonight you are transferred to the Christian race in Jesus' name. Amen. Lift your phones, lift your books. How many want, those of you in the congregation, you want some of these books? I'll give you. You wait. Lift your phones, lift your phones. Lift your phones, lift your books. Father, thank you for healing your Christians and establishing them in you. They will serve you. They will be strong. They will follow you. We love you, Father. We thank you. Don't let them fall by the wayside, Lord. Let them stay in you to the very end. Thank you for your provision. In Jesus' name, amen.